I hate pain. Why would I want comfort measures? I'm just going to get an epidural.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Carmen, an international board certified lactation consultant.
And I'm Ruth Green, an international full spectrum doula.
And this is the Having a Baby in China podcast. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice. The views expressed here are the personal opinions of individuals and do not necessarily reflect any official stance or recommendation by Having a Baby in China.
All right, good morning. Hey, Ruth, good to see you.
Hey, Jacqueline.
Hey, so excited to record another podcast. So I think the topic that you're bringing to the table today is comfort measures. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we're talking about comfort measures. And as an added bonus this week, we've never done this before, but we have a free handout that's going to go with it.
Awesome.
So we're going to release that at the same time as this podcast episode. So I'm kind of excited. It was a little project I've wanted to do for a while, and I pulled it together and I was like, I want to share it with everyone.
Awesome. So yeah, comfort measures. So I'm thinking I'm in labor and I want to be comfortable.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So a comfort measure is anything to help you stay more comfortable while you're in labor. So there are a number of them, and you can research online and look for all sorts of ones. These are the ones that I find I use the most. And also, we've added a little bit of information about specific to China, because I feel like sometimes when you look up, like, what are comfort measures, then you get a bunch of suggestions that maybe don't make a whole lot of sense for when you're giving birth here and have kind of limited resources.
Yeah, because maybe there's some items or something that isn't allowed in the hospitals here. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, you can bring everything, but I don't know. I feel like because most people are giving birth like in a shared space, you don't want to have a ton of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So most of these are quite small. You can put them in like a small bag, except for one, which we'll talk about in the end. So it's the last one. But some people also might ask, why would I want comfort measures? I'm just going to get an epidural. Like, I hate pain. Contractions are starting. I'm running to the hospital. I'm getting an epidural. Why would I need this?
Yeah. That first contraction, give me an epidural, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely known people who have this idea in mind. And if that's you, like, that's okay. But just know there is going to be a period of time from the time that contractions start until the time that you get an epidural. And there can be a couple of different reasons. One is because it just takes time to get to the hospital. And hopefully you're not in like too much discomfort in the early stage. But even once you get to the hospital, it's going to take a little while for you to get into the room, for them to call the anesthesiologist, for the anesthesiologist to get all set up and like sterilize the area and your back and all this stuff. And usually in China, an epidural is done with no support person. So I don't want to scare you on that, but I have found that lots of times they're like, okay, you're getting an epidural, husband needs to leave the room, or partner needs to leave the room. So unless you have someone who's going to fight for that and a hospital that's not going to give a lot of kickback, you might be on your own. So you want to have a couple things in your tool bag to kind of cope with that. And then the other thing is that epidurals, if given too early, can slow down or even stop labor. And so a lot of hospitals have very strict rules about when they will give the epidural. So they often won't want to give it before 3 centimeters. So you might have a bunch of contractions, get to the hospital, and they check you and they're like, sorry, like, we're not giving you anything for a while. So just have a mindset of there's going to be a period of time where I'm going to be uncomfortable and I'm going to want some support and some help.
Yeah, that's good to know. Okay, so I'm looking at this list, and the first one is a comb. So you want me to be combing my hair? Is that what you're...
This one is a really
is
funny
that what
one.
It's for?
Yeah, yeah, you know, because I mean, I could imagine that, like,
I mean,
the
I do really want to be looking beautiful.
Well, I was thinking, like, even, you know, the scalp massage can be really comfortable.
Yeah.
No, yeah. So the comb is a really interesting one. There's like the little prongs on a comb, right? The teeth of the comb. So you have to kind of do a little bit of research, and we could do a whole episode on this. So I'm not going to go into it too much, but there's this theory called the pain gateway theory.
Okay.
And this is that your body, your brain can kind of only absorb so much sensation at once. And so if we're giving sensation in one part of our body, and it even gets into like the layers of pain and sensation and how fast different signals go to your brain, it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Then if we are putting a lot of sensation in one area, it can go faster to the brain and actually kind of close off that gateway. And so then you don't feel as much of the contraction intensity. So yeah, it's really interesting. And so a lot of people find this kind of comforting. You take the teeth of the comb and you put them in like a crease of your hand. So either where your palm meets your fingers or in a different crease. And then during the contraction, you just squeeze as much as you feel comfortable, right? Obviously, we don't want somebody like really hurting themselves. But the great thing is that the mom can control this themselves, right? So they can squeeze harder or they can squeeze lighter, depending on what they need. It's something that they actually control themselves.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I personally never tried that, but I can imagine how that would work.
It's definitely interesting because I feel like when I'm in the birth room with a client, that's not one that there is like a really go-to to them. They're like, oh, this is kind of weird. But then I found that my online clients, where I'm not there to be giving a lot of hands-on support, they usually report this is one that they really liked. And I'm wondering if it's because it's something that they can do and they don't have somebody else providing different support.
Yeah. Neat. Fascinating. Okay. So number two is a hot water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Want to explain?
Well, and this is one of the ones that I've kind of like tailored towards China because, you know, I think in other countries, like you could bring your hot rice pack, which is something that I usually take just in case there is a microwave, but you might not have a microwave, right? Or there's other ways of getting heat. But in China, we don't necessarily have that, but there's one thing that you can count on anywhere. And that is hot water.
Yes.
Not out of the tap. Yeah. You can't count on hot water out of the tap, but you can count on them giving you hot drinking water. And so you can fill, you know, one of these reusable hot water bottles, fill it with hot water, and then put it wherever you're feeling uncomfortable. So if somebody's can put counter pressure on your back, or maybe your hip is really sore, or wherever it might be.
And we're talking about the bladder, the like malleable water bottle, not like a drinking water bottle.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So one of these ones like from the old times, they're like this pink rubber. Or I know Decathlon has like a blue one that I really like, although I'm wondering if that one's only for ice. I think they're usually kind of a rubber, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know here a favorite remedy for all things is hot water. Mm-hmm. So you're in labor. Hot water. Drink hot water. It'll make it all better.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not talking about a drinking hot water bottle. I mean, if that's what you like, that's great. Although most people find themselves really hot and want cold water.
Okay, so moving from the hot water bottle, the next one is cold packs.
Yeah, so like hot, because we never know exactly what is going to bring us comfort in labor. I find these cold packs, the ones that you can kind of break and you know, they turn instantly cold or kind of cool-ish.
Yeah.
The ones that coaches would have on the like soccer field in case somebody got hurt, you know, this sort of thing that's like an instant pack can be really helpful because ice is not something that is going to be readily available in most places.
Yes. There is getting more and more prevalent, like if you go to the, but still, it's very rare.
And you can also, you know, if you really want ice, you can try ordering in, like Waimai, some cold drinks and like maybe call the place and be like, give me extra ice or I don't know, things like that in order to get cold.
I saw that Be Select has like bags of ice that or like cups of ice, just ice that you could get if you have a Be Select near you.
Wow. I've never even heard of Be Select, but yeah. That's great. It is definitely something you're going to see more. And it is also something you can maybe talk to your hospital ahead of time. Like I did have a client recently that told the hospital it's really, really important that I have ice because I get hot so easily and it makes me really panicky. And they had the nurses like, they just had this like one or two, I think it was three trays of ice. And then they would just like fill them and dump them and fill them and dump them. Like they were just bringing her ice over and over again. They were really proud of themselves. It was really cute.
Nice.
But they were like hand making. I thought that maybe they had like an ice maker or something. No, they just had the little trays and were refilling them over and over and over again.
Okay. So the next one, tennis ball or other massage tools. Okay. So massage, not actually like playing tennis because it could be a good way to like
loosen things up a little bit. Even right? Get your mind off. I think that's like more for like the super early labor before you're in the hospital room. If you want to go play one last game of tennis. So yes, exactly. So for massage. So anything that can kind of give that pressure support in like a localized area. Sometimes I carry balls of different firmness, right? So like a softer one or a firmer one, and the partner or whoever is with them can kind of just massage it around their back. A note to all partners listening. It's okay that the person who's giving birth changes their mind every 50 seconds or 20 seconds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's your job. I tell all of my clients, partners, it's your job to not be offended. So you can practice all sorts of things like in advance and then get into it. And they're like, no, don't touch me that way. I don't like that. And it's your job to not be offended by that. So, you know, that's why it's good to have a few different things, because you might think, oh, I'm definitely going to want a heat pack. Like I've used my heat packs during my period every time. Like that's what I want. And then they get into the room and they're like, I'm so hot. I just need to cool down. And so, oh, you know, something I don't have on here is a hand fan. A hand fan is really helpful for somebody to be fanning you. Yeah. So all of that to say, having a few options.
Now, I don't know how practical this is, but it could be done by yourself. Mm-hmm. If you have, you know, go up against the wall and you put the tennis ball, and then you can like roll around and, you know, against the tennis ball and put the pressure where you're needing it. If you find yourself in a position where you don't have someone with you, it's possible.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, it is possible. Definitely. It's a great idea. So yeah, so the next one is a bed sheet or a large scarf. There is another term called the rebozo. This is the word for a large scarf or blanket that comes out of Mexico. If you want to learn more about this, I encourage you to look this up online and do some videos, because this is not something that's going to come like naturally. You're going to get into the room and be like, now what was I supposed to do? But there are so many different ways that you can use a large scarf or a rebozo. The term rebozo is supposed to be like specifically to these handmade cloths in that come out of Mexico by these special midwives. And so that's why I've used a more generic term. But I think that scarves and sheets and blankets, all of these have been used around the world in, you know, multiple different ways, you know. And then afterwards, like carrying your baby or, you know, whatever, you can look at all sorts of different cultures around the world that have used this, but there's so many different ways. And so you really want to like watch some videos. But one that I've seen my clients really like is to kind of tie a knot in it and then you put it in a door. So this is a little bit hard to explain, but you like close a door with the knot on the other side of the door, and then they can kind of pull on it or like hold and lean back or like squat down while holding it. That's one that people really like. There's the double hip squeeze where the partner wraps it around the hips of the birthing person and kind of pulls on it. So you twist it around and kind of pull to give some counter pressure on the hips during contractions. There's lots of different ways, but you'll want to do a lot of research or get some hands-on training for this one.
Very interesting. Okay, so the next one is essential oils.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this is one that you're going to want to be really careful with because of different reasons. One is because if you're in a public space, you can't just go like diffusing a bunch of essential oils around, right?
Yeah. I know a friend of mine is allergic and gets migraines from lavender.
Yeah. Yep. And so lavender is like a really common one that a lot of people like for it being calming, but you don't know who around you is going to like have a reaction to that. And so what was suggested in my doula training years ago was to put it onto a tissue or something that can just be easily like discarded. And so during the contraction or when the mom's feeling stressed, they like hold that tissue up towards their face and they smell it. And then if it's like, oh, I don't like this, the smell is like annoying me now or irritating me now, you can just discard it. You can try a different one, but you do want to kind of be careful. Don't ever put it on the skin directly, especially if you have never tried it before. You don't want to have burns, like chemical burns. And I know that putting it into like a diffuser, if you have a private room, is becoming more popular, but you just want to not count on that because there might be hospital restrictions or somebody on staff that's allergic or something or another. Yeah.
It's a good hack. Yeah. And another thing about not wanting it on your skin is that it can disrupt the natural scent of the mom.
Mm-hmm.
So when the baby is born, ideally, you'll have immediate skin to skin, and the baby is placed on the mom's chest, and the nipples actually release a scent that smells like the amniotic fluid, which then triggers the baby's natural instinct to do this really amazing thing called a breast crawl. And they will actually start to try and crawl up to the mother's breast and latch themselves if they are given the space and time to do that. So if you have the essential oils on the skin, that can kind of disrupt that natural process. And also that a baby's skin is just a lot more sensitive.
Yeah.
So even if you've tried it and you're not allergic and you've diluted it and it's on your skin, it's the baby's skin is just, you know, it's brand new, fresh, it's raw from, so we don't want to cause any harm or discomfort to the baby. Well.
Yeah. And I would say, especially as far as the scents, to also be careful of any lotions. Like, lotion is not something I put on this list, but it would be a great thing to have to help with that kind of massage. But you always want to have an unscented lotion, because you don't want all these extra scents that are kind of going to disrupt and confuse the baby's natural instincts.
Yeah. And something to keep in mind, there are a few things that when used in high concentration, for over periods of time, can actually affect a mother's milk supply. Peppermint is one of them. But peppermint is a really good one to use for headaches. So,
and nausea.
Yes, and nausea. So I think smelling it through the labor is good. But again, cautioning against actually putting it on your skin and absorbing it, having your body absorb it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the last one that I have is the one that I said is an exception. It is actually quite large, and this is a peanut ball. You might check with your hospital and find out if they have one. I'm finding more and more that hospitals are, especially I have found that to be true in like the southern part of China, that they're trying to implement more of these kind of natural supportive items of childbirth. Now, I don't actually even know what is so magical about a peanut ball. And I probably shouldn't say that, because, you know, somebody's going to try and be like, no, I didn't like that. But it made all the difference. The first time that I actually tried one was with my fourth pregnancy, actually. With my births in China, I never had a peanut ball. And I was like, why would I need it? Because I can just, you know, use a bunch of pillows and kind of put them between my legs, or, you know, raise my legs or whatever with pillows. And then I gave birth in America for my last one, and they're like, hey, do you want to try the peanut ball? And I was like, sure, why not? And it really helped me to find this position that I could relax and actually kind of doze in between contractions during the hardest part. So it was actually kind of funny, if I can share a personal story. My last birth was an induction, and it was quite intense. It was quite long. It was like 30 hours, even though it was my fourth birth. And after they broke my water to try and kind of speed things up, it was just so, so intense. And so they actually, I ended up begging them to turn down the Pitocin, because I was just like, I can't, they're coming too fast. It's too hard. I need a break. So they turned it down. They were still quite intense. They tried the peanut ball, and my contractions actually lessened. And they're like, we're going to have to turn the Pitocin back up. And I was like, no, please don't. And they checked me, and I was like only 7 centimeters. And they're like, yeah, we're really going to have to turn it up. And then I was like, oh, nope, the baby's coming. And I gave birth in like 3 contractions after that point. So I really think that finding a position that I was able to just really relax, especially in between the contractions.
Yeah.
But it also helps you to do some different positions, like where your knees are closer together and your ankles are far apart, or, you know, there's different positions that you want to do at different times, helped the baby to just kind of get past whatever it was that was holding him up there. And then it was like, after that, it was like, oh, and bam, he's born. So again, you're going to want to watch some videos. If you're ever curious about where to start, you can reach out to Jacqueline or I to help you get pointed in the right direction. But sometimes when you go online and you're just like looking for any old video, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. So it's always best to connect with a professional to be able to kind of lead you towards more evidence-based videos, or so you don't get lost in the weeds.
Yeah, definitely can, because there's a lot of information out there. A lot of it's good and a lot of it is not so good. So
yep.
And when I'm pregnant, and I also, when I have mom brain, which is now forever, I can get overwhelmed and like, who's got time to sit through and weed through all the what's good and what's not. And so I like to have someone be like, here, this is good. You should read this.
Yep.
And check that out. So.
So Jacqueline, I was curious, but were there any other comfort measures that you loved during your labors or things that you were like go-tos for you?
Yeah, I'll have a couple. One is actually not something that I use, but I know other people really like.
Mm.
And that's like music or something. Yes. Like having a playlist or something to encourage you to relax or meditate or whatever. And just kind of another thing that you can like focus on.
Yeah.
Instead of like focusing on the contraction, rather focusing on the beautiful music or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a book that you're listening to or things like that.
One thing that I always tell my clients about music is to actually have a couple of different playlists, because you're going to find there might be times when you want to like relax and kind of maybe doze in and out. And then you might also need a playlist that's like, okay, actually I need to find some energy. I need to get going. I need to like kind of pump it up. And so you might have one that's more of the like soothing. And then you might have one that's more of like the full on energy, like let's get going kind of thing.
Yeah. So for my last labor, my sister was there. And this wasn't something that I necessarily had like insisted on. But having someone in the room, and it could be your partner, but especially someone like a doula in the room, can have a lot of comfort. Along with it, they provide a lot of support and they have experience. My sister, although she didn't train as a doula, she had babies of her own. And so she had been through and walked through labor. Mm-hmm. And even though my husband had, you know, has been through the labors as well, she just brought to the table, to the situation, a lot of experience that was very comforting. And just the things that she said were super encouraging. And the way like she touched me and like massaged me, like it was very comforting and calming. And I think I was really able to cope and deal with that labor a lot better with her presence. So I say those things that really is like two things. One is maybe hire a doula or have like someone who's been through labor and that you feel comfortable with to be with you.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to have like a list of things, encouraging words that your partner or someone who's going to accompany you to whisper or say to you, like, just, you've got this, you were doing, you know, I don't know, all the encouraging words. Whatever my sister said, I don't really remember exactly, but I do remember like that it was encouraging and empowering. And then my last thing that I found super helpful and comforting was actually like massage and using something like coconut oil or olive oil to rub on my back. And
yeah, definitely. Those are great. I didn't put having a doula on it because it's not something you can put in a bag. No, I'm just teasing. But that's great. And I would say, like, if you're having a friend or a mom or a sister come to your birth, to make sure that they are kind of a calming presence and not somebody who maybe had a more stressful or traumatic experience, because you don't want them carrying that into your labor, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had my mom at my first birth and I did love having her there. I felt like it had been too long since she'd given birth maybe. So she was like trying to remember what to do from, I don't remember how many years, 25 years or something. No, 15 years, however long it had been since she'd had a baby. But it was still lovely to have that kind of calming presence in the room. Yeah.
All right. That sounds like a good start. I'm sure this is not an exhaustive list.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to share this with our listeners, and hopefully other people find it helpful. If you have other things that you think should be added to the list, let us know. We love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for other comfort measures, we would be happy to connect with you.
Yep.
I know a really good doula. You can reach out to Ruth, and I'm sure she'd be happy to connect with you.
Yeah, definitely share what you found helpful. Like if you've already given birth, especially if you've given birth in China, like what were your favorite things and takeaways from your birth that brought you comfort during that time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. Don't forget to share, like, subscribe, all the things. And until next time, Jacqueline.
Yeah. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye. Look at that.
I know.
In less than an hour.
That's amazing. And there's a lot I can cut out. So this should be like a 25-minute episode. So that's perfect.